Well, welcome. This is WNZ Radio coming to you from Laredo, Ohio. Very happy you tuned in for another show, and we're very, very happy. I was going to tell you about this show today. I've been excited for this for some time. As we talked in the past, I mentioned that we've been able to have some really special guests over the start of this new year, and this is no exception today as I introduce the guests. But before we do, I want to again mention that if you're having any issues, static or anything, that often I just go to my my iPad, my phone, or Lexus, and just or laptop, and you can just live stream this thing. And but otherwise, it's WNZN.org. That's WNZN.org. We're 89.1 FM radio coming to you from Lorain, Ohio. So without further ado, I want to introduce our guest. And sitting next to me is my beautiful wife, Marie Murtha.
Hello.
Who's kind of the educational one in the house, so she's going to have a lot to say in this interview. But I want to introduce to our all audience is Dr. Heather Valier and Pastor Troy Newyear. Very, very special friends and people we've gotten to know. And just I want them to share their vision today about classical Christian education. But before we do, well, welcome. Welcome both of you to WNZN Radio.
Oh, thanks very much.
Good to have you guys. Good to have you with us. Before we start, Dr. Valier, maybe you first, ladies first, and then Pastor Troy, if you would give a little of your background for our audience, just introduce yourselves, what you do, how do you, and then we're going to bring you up to present moment, and how did you get involved with classical Christian education, the vision to establish a school there in Shaker Heights? So first, Doctor, would you go first?
Thank you so much for this opportunity. So I'm Heather Valier, and I grew up in the Milwaukee area of Wisconsin. I was fortunate to be born into an active Christian family and attended Lutheran elementary school, which was very foundational for me, the Lutheranism and some of the teaching methods, style, small class sizes, things like that, which really afforded wonderful opportunities for education as a whole, but with that Christian foundation. And so being blessed with that background and perhaps taking it for granted a lot of the time along the way, those years, that's who I am. I'm a Christian living in this world. And as I headed off to high school, public high school, which is a very different setting, also relatively enjoyable, but different, and different friend group, different socialization process, and was kind of called toward the study of medicine. And so I pursued my undergraduate education at Northwestern University, which was nearby my home in the Milwaukee area of Wisconsin, and then moved to California for medical school and lived there for 6 years in the Bay Area, where I met my husband. It was in a PhD program. We were in school together at Stanford, and he's a lovely Christian man also, and we were blessed to start our family at that time and then head back to Wisconsin, where he continued with his study of science, and I pursued my postgraduate training in orthopedic surgery and lived there for 5 years, becoming an orthopedic surgeon, followed by a year of fellowship in the Seattle area where I specialized in traumatology. I was looking for jobs in an academic setting is something that I've always been really passionate about. I started doing teaching when I was an undergraduate, assisting and earning a little cash on the side, and then same in medical school. And I did that and was able to get some tuition reductions, earn a little cash, and really enjoy myself teaching other students. So it's something that I think is sort of part of who I am, albeit those were things in sciences, relatively clinical and basic science work, and felt that I would pursue an academic type of career as a clinician. And so when I say that, what I mean is I wanted to work in a setting where I could teach medical students, residents, fellows, and interact with other clinicians to do research to try to advance our field. And that's not as common. Most people in medicine don't enjoy those things or don't aspire to them, but it's a group of things that I really liked a lot, and I like to be in that academic setting. And so after our time in a family, as a family in Seattle, where at that point, we actually had two children. Our children were both in school, preschool and second grade at that point. And we looked at some different positions around the United States, but I was fortunate to be offered a job at Metro Health here in Cleveland. Really busy level one trauma center with a talented team of people, and came to work here in Cleveland in 2001 and really enjoyed taking care of people. And one of the things as a trauma surgeon, I think what was just kind of along with it, but it's really for me about people and helping them to heal and to recover. And as a Christian, I felt like that really resonated with my walk with the Lord in ways that we can try to live our faith by working together with the world around us. And so my work was a real blessing and a calling in a lot of ways, and sometimes affording opportunities to share my faith, not just through action, but through words, teaching in the research piece, and then also doing a lot of research on some of the non-traditional ways that help people recover through education and through improving their resilience and their own kind of aptitude, coping. And there's a lot of spiritual tendencies with that all too. And so those are things that I've really enjoyed about my clinical work. Suffice to say, you know, clinical environments change, and the latter part of the 2010s and early 2020s, and COVID accentuated this, brought a lot of changes to the medical environment here in Cleveland. And so the work that I was doing as a trauma surgeon at that point was changing quite a bit for a number of reasons that I won't get into, but it's time for me to step away and look for a different line of work, which I ultimately ended up taking, but with a reduced clinical footprint. We're currently working with Cleveland Clinic and doing some orthopedic trauma surgery, but doing a lot of other work on resilience and recovery and helping people recover. And so, you know, a couple of years ago, I kind of started thinking about this. I don't know if it's one of those things where you've got kind of brings opportunities and people into your life, things that I would read, pray, think about. I thought a lot about opportunities for education, elementary education, and what that would look like at our church. Kind of went through the idea and explored it a little bit, read about it, talked to other people, and kind of got to the point where here at St. Peter's, where we've been members since we moved here in 2001, that maybe it would be an interesting thing for us to explore as a congregation. And as you'll see, as we get into our story here, and there were a number of people and factors that kind of came together.
That's a great overview. You know, just as a side note, Doctor, I have several doctor friends, and several, when I mentioned your name, they go, oh, she taught me, and they worked with you at one of the hospitals. Really kind of cool to see how, you know, well-known you are in the greater Cleveland healing community. But thanks again, and we're going to pick that up and how you got into the classical Christian education field. And now, Pastor Troy, if you would just give us a little bit of background, and then we're going to segue and go right into the whole thing about the school.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. First off, Heather has a remarkable ability to say everything that I was going to say only far.
That's good.
A lot of stuff she said. Obviously, I'm not a medical doctor at all. However, I did just finish my PhD in missiology, so really excited about that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So what to say about me? Well, I've been pastor here at St. Peter's since, 2016, and been pastoring as a whole since about, when else was ordained? I was ordained in 2006. Married to my wife, Stephanie, for this year is 2024, so this will be 35 years from September, and we have a number of children, 11 all total, and my,
yes, indeed, 11 children.
That's it, and my wonderful and faithful wife has been homeschooling them, since our oldest was in first grade, and so we've been very much a family involved with education, with the training of children, and with the raising them up and training them in the way they should go. That's me.
What else do you want to know?
Well, we're going to fill in the blanks as we go along, I'm sure. I want to get into the education piece, and Before I do that, my wife, Marie, and she's really going to kind of ask a lot of the questions because she's the one that's with the educational background in the family. For years, she's been in the teaching field and then even helped establish a school in Chiang Mai, Thailand, when we were missionaries there. But of late, she's been teaching at Westside Christian Academy, which is, again, I referred to the classical Christian education model. And that's how we're kind of here today. And I want the audience to really understand what this is about. Marie, do you want to say a couple words about that?
Well, just a short snippet, the Reader's Digest version of my background. I was raised in a religious home, but not Bible reading, not really. You know, I'd go to church, went to a religious school, and but it wasn't until my junior year at Kent State. So my freshman year was the Kent State shootings, and so that was my introduction to college. If you remember those, and during the Vietnam era, in my junior years when I came to the Lord, I had never in my life read the Bible, opened a Bible. So it was all so new to me, and I had a huge learning curve. And I just hungered and thirsted after everything I could learn about Scripture and what God's Word had to say about different things. And I knew that I wanted to do something in ministry. And I wanted to do something that was where people did not have an opportunity to hear about Jesus, because there seems to be a church on every corner here or whatever. And a lot of, you know, opportunities and books and resources. And I wanted to go somewhere where that had never been shared or heard. And so when I met John, it turned out that he had lived in Thailand as a soldier during the Vietnam era. And he's like, and he was a new believer as well. And so he says, yeah, let's do it. Let's go back to Thailand. And we did learn that that was an unreached people group. And then we had, we were married in 1977 and we had Michael in 1978. And if someone would have told me that I was going to be an educator, I would have said, you got the wrong person. I don't even know if I even like kids that much. I could have had my financial loan dismissed if I would have gone and teach in an inner city. And I says, absolutely not. So I ended up paying for that anyways. And then I had Michael, and I didn't really know what to do about raising a child in the faith in a real tangible Bible way. And then when we went to Bible school in preparation for missions, it was they had a nursery there, and they didn't just babysit the kids. They actually taught them. All that to say is that through that experience, I also took a class on what the Bible has to say about children, and I was shocked. And then I ended up teaching at the preschool, and I was off to the races. And so ever since then, I've been involved in children's ministry. I ended up teaching. I ended up teaching in a Christian school when we were home on furlough. I ended up getting my teaching certification. I ended up being a principal. Before that, I taught music, and I taught, what else did I teach? Art. And a first grade classroom teacher. Ended up homeschooling my kids overseas. Ended up doing that Christian missionary church. What do you call that? An international school, Grace International in Chiang Mai. And now I teach at Westside Christian Academy. When I do whatever they want me to do. So that's the Reader's Digest version on all right. Me. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay. Now I'm going to pose a question to all three of you.
Wait.
Go on.
Troy,
did you have a question?
Troy, did you want to say something?
No, I was just commenting, actually.
Okay. All right. Here's my question. A lot of us know what Christian education is, but can you define what classical Christian education is for the sake of our audience and just kind of fill us in on that?
Well, that's an excellent question, and one that, admittedly, I come relatively new to the table. I thought it's my own walk, learning about different types of education, specifically Christian education. Classical is something that's becoming more common, more popular, and there's different ways that can be interpreted, but a lot of it goes back to sort of the style that I think was first described and kind of copied and mimicked back to even St. Augustine. So the idea, the classical piece is sort of that Western tradition, and it's based on kind of phases of a child's development and meeting that child at the phase they are in terms of their age, their learning capabilities, and then helping them to progress through that. And so what's called grammar, that's what grammar, like the grammatical construction of a sentence, but the grammar phase is for elementary age children, maybe through grade 5 or 6 or so, where there's a lot of memorization, a lot of learning of facts, and that children's brains are so amazing and capable of absorbing all kinds of information. And so they're excited to learn and learning all of that subject matter, sometimes through song and verse, recitation, and playing it back. And so that part about bringing up all those facts, albeit when it's classical Christian, everything is viewed through the lens of Christianity. And so not just, oh, we're going to learn some Bible verses and we're going to learn some Bible history. No, we're going to view science through the eyes of, this is our creation, God's creation, and we live in his world, and this is how it was made. And we can talk about the Christian roots of history and how they influence things over time, world history, U.S. history. And so everything is kind of viewed through that lens. Now, as we progress to the stages, the next stage after that grammar phase is what's called logic. And that's another couple of years. And as that child starts to want to ask questions and sort of think through ideas, well, could be this way or that way. What caused this problem? Let's think it through. There's some possibilities. Starting to get them to think and to reason and to discuss that a little bit. And then that goes into the next phase, which is called rhetoric. And that would be more like the high school age, where they're really good at formulating arguments. So really teaching them, they have all of that factual knowledge. How do they express themselves in a debate, in written form, in verbal form, as a group? And so lots of different settings sharpen their skills of communication and really compile all of that information to be very effective in thinking critically about the world around them, and then hopefully articulating about it and acting on it, again, through a Christian and a biblical worldview and lens. And so that's how classical Christian education, in my mind, really differs from other educational philosophies. Now, people also like to say that that early stage of grammar is really called the truth. And so our motto here at Classical Christian Academy is, it's faithful to the truth, fidelis veritate. And so we think of Jesus as the truth. And yeah. I really love that phase, that exploration, that learning, that memorization, followed by goodness, the logic, and learning where's the good and kind of sticking that through. And then the beauty of rhetoric and the beauty of the wonderful gifts that we have from our Lord in his creation and our attempts to try to use them in a meaningful way to our
Oh, very good. I like the idea of the worldview established in a classical style with being infused with the biblical overview. Yeah, Marie, did you want to?
Well, I just wanted to mention a couple other things that I, having taught in Christian schools for many, many years, one thing I've noticed different between the Christian, the average Christian school out there, and there's some there. It was good. My kids went through, well, some of them. I did a little bit of everything: homeschooling, Christian schooling, public schooling, depending on who it was, how old they were, and where we were. One thing I noticed is that, first of all, even as a homeschooling, so I started back in the 80s only because I had no choice. We lived out in the country in Thailand. I would have never considered teaching the kids anything about Rome or delving into it in a deep manner, Greece, delving that into it in a deep manner, studying the pagan things that went on with there, the buildings. And yet a lot of what we have in the world today is based on a lot of what they did there, the different arches, the different things, the architecture, everything. In America, the democracy, the way we have our systems organized here, it goes back to those ancient times. And so my kids probably missed a little bit because it's like, ooh, we're not touching anything pagan. And then a couple other things was that the verbiage within classical Christian education is different than other educational systems. We talk about good grammar school, which, Heather, you touched on, it's preschool through grade 6. upper school is grade 7 through 12. That's a different system going on. Also, classical education teaches Latin from, we started preschool, kindergarten on up. And also with that technology, and people say, well, that's the downfall of a classical education. Not enough technology. Kids in high school, they have Chromebooks. They work through them for different things. We prefer to have what we call thinkers, number one. Number two, it changes so quickly, the technology. I've seen kindergartners dragging Chromebooks home. The Chromebooks are bigger than they are half the time. And that technology changes, and it's more than just clicking on a button. We need looking for thinkers. So anyways, that's just a couple of things I wanted to say about that. And so one more thing, last thing. In high school, I was shocked to know that they are going through Mein Kampf and the Quran through a biblical worldview. They do not shy away from the hard things in this world. So I really give them credit for that.
Thank you, Maria. Pastor Hillier, why now? Yeah. Why St. Peter's Church? When did this vision come to you to establish this school there at this particular time?
So why now? Why? That's the question we've been asking ourselves.
Oh, that's good. All right.
And you know, there's a number of different reasons, I think, for that. But really, honestly, I think it starts with a very innocent phone call that Heather made to me at one point, just said, hey, fascinating to talk to you. I've got some ideas. Just want to float these ideas past you. And so when we talked, she said, really been thinking and praying about starting a school.
Okay.
And are you sitting down?
So the funny part was that I didn't gasp or I wasn't shocked, but what I said was, that's really funny because I've been thinking about that for a few years now, too, myself.
Interesting.
It's just wonderful, you know, sort of convergence of this sort of thing. But then the more we looked at it, the more we realized that this is probably actually going to be a very viable idea. St. Peter's has a long history of being involved in education. We unfortunately, when we moved to our new building, the one that was built in 1938, which is new in terms of church anyway, right? But this building we're currently in was built in 1938. But prior to that, we actually did have a school, fully functioning school, with actually some of our really great theologians in our denomination taught in that school back in the day, which is quite fascinating to learn. When they moved to this location, obviously they moved, they parted ways with the school. But then always was a desire to have more education going on here. Eventually, in the late 60s, they built what we call an education wing. And I always wondered why they called the education wing. Well, it turns out they actually did desire, even back then, to reestablish a Christian day school. And this is all stuff we find out as we did some research on our 146th church anniversary. But so there's that sort of deep foundation there. Beyond that, St. Peter's is just a church that really values
education,
you know, the word, and they love to see this word explored and applied and really believed. When we started thinking about that and wondering, you know, how can we impact the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that. And, you know, the real answer is not to grow a super huge mega church where thousands of people come to hear me preach every week because,
A, that'd be horrible.
Yeah.
B, they don't fall asleep. But
you know, a lot of times those things have a very, let's say, passing influence. And so we're looking at something and just desiring to have something that's going to have generations. It struck me earlier when you were talking, Marie. I know you had your conversion experience as a junior in college, but you did say you went to a religious grade school as well. And I just realized that, you know, even back then, the Lord had been laying the groundwork for you.
Definitely.
Yeah, so many times the Holy Spirit plants these seeds that then do take some time to start growing, but when they do grow, the fruit is 30, 60, 100 times more with the sun. And that's the very type of thing that we're looking at here. We want something that's going to reach into generations in the future as child after child grows up, and then they have their own children, and they teach their own children the ways of the Lord, and they teach their own children how to critically analyze what the world is doing and what the world is saying, and look at that through a biblical lens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really kind of why we're doing this.
Can you tell us more about where, what the name of the school is called? Where are you located? And tell us about that neighborhood around there. I'm a West Sider, and you're an East Sider, and I always say it's like going to China when I go over to your place. It's just so different over there. So if you could just tell us where you're located and what kind of a neighborhood, I found it fascinating, is over there.
So, yeah, it's actually funny. One of the funniest descriptions I've ever heard of Shaker Heights, where we are, is that if you don't know where you're going, you're probably not supposed to be there. That's good. But like, our streets are not laid out in square.
Exactly.
You kind of meander through the entire thing.
I understand it was actually designed after something to be like after a cemetery. You know, just kind of the weird and winding, curvy roads that go anywhere. But we are in Shaker Heights. It's a great little city. And
what else do you want to say about that?
Well, one thing I would like to know is, I want the audience to know the contact information before I want to do it now and then at the end.
Oh, yeah.
So just a little
cursor. Sure. So contact phone number, 216-561-2511. I feel like doing a commercial now.
There you go. That's the commercial.
511.
Okay. And our website, cca-shaker.org.
Well, what's that first letters again? First letters?
CCA.
CCA. Yeah. Okay. You know, because Marie asked us a question we haven't told yet, it's Classical Christian
Academy.
Okay.
So cca-shaker.org.
Okay, great. Okay.
There's not a lot of Christian education available in this immediate area, and I feel like that's a really nice opportunity for us to not only provide Christian education, but the classical Christian, which is very different, and offer things to our local community that they really don't have access to right now.
Mm-hmm. So, doctor or pastor, either one could answer this. So if I'm a young parent, let's say I have two children, three children, what would inspire me or what to say, okay, I like my children to go to this CCA. I like to go to this Classical Christian Academy. What might be the attraction there?
Yeah, I think each family's going to have their own reasons.
Uh-huh.
Right, for starters.
But I can tell you... the kind of vibe we're going for, so being a Lutheran church, for instance, we're very much rooted in liturgy, in which is, in itself is a very classical thing, that sort of thing is going to kind of carry all through the whole day. Opportunities, not just opportunities, but a daily chapel. Opportunities for worship and learning the word, learning how to pray and doing things like that. We anticipate having a very loving and caring staff with structure to it as well that just facilitates learning. I think probably chief above all, we really understand and we respect the parents' authority
and the parents' responsibility.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Martin Luther even talked about this in some of his writings about how if a certain person, if a certain man is not able to provide education for his family, he turns the right of that education over to people who can. And they then work with the parents. I said right. I didn't quite mean right, but they turn the responsibility of education those children over to someone else. And so what we're understanding is that, here's where it ends up. We understand that parents will have the responsibility to educate their children.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's good.
Also, that is part of the classical education, is that the classical education, we're partnering with the parents. And I like that. And that also goes to a couple other questions, the things I wanted you to mention. Let me see. I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent here. But what about, it's like, oh, wow, this is a Christian education and it's a classical Christian education. This sounds like it's going to be pretty pricey and it's in Shaker Heights. Whoa. Okay, take it from there.
It's going to be pricier around here. No question. So our tuition is $7,200 a year, and we're accepting a choice vouchers. And so families will be assisted with that process to apply for a choice scholarship. And the families who qualify for the full voucher amount, of course, by rule of the state of Ohio, we accept that as their full tuition. We've been fortunate to establish a scholarship fund, and so some financial assistance will be available to families who have needs beyond that, whether it's for some application fees, book fees, or other needs, or some additional school assistance. And so we're hopeful that that cost is actually a little bit less than many of the other parochial schools in this immediate area and in the greater Cleveland area.
Okay, I have a quick question on that, a follow-up. Do you know anything about the school vouchers that the state of Ohio? Well, that's what's mentioned in the scholarship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
We have the Ed Choice vouchers.
That's it. School vouchers. In addition to that, we've also established, as I was just saying, a scholarship fund, which helps offset additional costs.
Okay. Good.
One thing I noticed, and I having been part of talking with you all over your process, is that you've done an excellent job of your demographics. So even though you hear Shaker Heights, I've noticed in traveling over there, you are just blocks away from some serious poverty neighborhoods. Can you talk to that issue as far as students?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that where we're situated, this physical location is really interesting.
It's kind of a literal intersection.
I thought so too.
Neighborhoods that are a little more affluent and those are a little more middle class or perhaps lower class, and just within blocks, some really impoverished areas.
Yes.
There are a lot of single parent or single grandparent families. We've been able to acquire a neighborhood demographical scan of the surrounding several miles, which was quite informative to us and inspirational in that the majority of those families in response to the survey desire to know the Lord and had some belief in Jesus as their Savior, but are not, most of them are not regularly attending any type of church worship or belonging to a congregation. And so we offer that opportunity as well. And we believe that this community is really yearning for an alternative. The public schools in Shaker Heights have had a traditionally very strong reputation, and we're offering something quite different than that. And it seems that we're getting a lot of appeal from people from various socioeconomic strata, and we're excited about that. We're excited about that opportunity to engage with our community, which is so diverse, and to really meet and get to know those families and those children and offer them a very rich experience by being here, where they will be exposed to lots of different people in their neighborhood and in their world.
All children of the Lord.
Excellent. What is your timeline?
Yeah,
sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Well,
can I add something on that? Sure. Real quick, Jim?
There's something there too as well that, it sounds really fancy. Oh, small private school in Shaker Heights, Ohio. There's something that happens with the typical small private school, and they end up advertising a lot for, hey, we create leaders here. We create the leaders of the future. And we're also aiming at creating leaders, but a very unique type. In the end, I don't really think, well, I know I don't care. And I don't know that most parents honestly would either care either about how great their child becomes or how amazing or how powerful or how rich or how influential. But what we all care about down deep is my child going to be able to can navigate the waters of life and follow Christ through it all.
That's right. That's the bottom line. You
know, yeah. Exactly. And remember, if we can put a child through an education that will prepare them to do and really go and do whatever they want, but as they do it, to walk with Christ,
then we feel we've succeeded.
Excellent.
That's so. It's again very much a Christ-centered model, and
Quick question: what's your timeline? What's your schedule? What's your sense of how this school is going to grow and go and in the next couple of years?
We feel it. That's in the Lord's hands, of course, and we're prayerful that we will fill this first year, and we're hoping to get about 5 to 10 kids per class. We're starting with kindergarten through grade 5. We can accommodate up to 12 kids per class first cycle. That'd be a little bit tight. And then each year we're going to grow a grade. So next year we'll offer 6th grade and 7th grade with the intent of going out through 8th grade, and with the anticipation that potentially in year 2 we will even start a preschool. Yeah. Some of our members have some experience preschool education and even leading in that capacity. And we know there are a lot of families locally, some directly connected with St. Peter's for that matter, that have children in that age group, and that parents are really yearning for their younger children to have some experience and some foundation coming into the regular elementary school grade.
I heard just recently that there was a huge cry for early childhood, specifically preschool in the greater Cleveland area. There's just not enough venues that are available now. So that'll be interesting to see. So it sounds like you're going to start this coming school year, 2024-25. Do you have an opening date? Can you tell me about the day you'd like to start and what your school day looks like?
Yeah, they're like looking at each other.
You tell them.
We're anticipating starting the last week of August, and we go for the required number of school days according to the Ohio calendar. That ends us up right around early June with that. And I apologize, I don't know the exact date of the end of the 2024-25 academic year.
Yes,
it's Glasgow Christian Academy. Right, we are planning for a break of a little over a week right around Christmas time, mm-hmm. and another break of a week right around Easter, as well as a handful of other days for teacher conferences and that type of thing. But it will be a regular Monday through Friday schedule. School is going to start at 8:30 each morning and finish at 3:15 for kindergarten all the way through grade 5. We're not offering a half-day kindergarten. We're going to start them right away with full day, but with lots of different breaks and a slightly different class schedule, of course, with shorter class time and more time for a little bit of physical activity and recreation to help to acclimate them to the school day process.
So just for
some of those kindergarten naps again.
Yeah, we could all use a kindergarten nap. That's right. But I wanted to let our listeners know that you are following the ODE, Ohio Department of Education, stipulations of the number of school days that is needed in Ohio, and also the number of hours for teaching. And so you are following everything, their guidelines. So this is not just a willy-nilly, you don't know what you're doing. You really know what you're doing. And I just wanted to give our listeners assurance that you're following the ODE recommendations, Ohio Department of Education.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's a number of minutes if you look just with the Shaker schools, and then you can get data, of course, for other public schools in Cuyahoga County. And our school day will be slightly longer by about 15 to 30 minutes than many of those others. And so, if you did a strict comparison, you would see that we have slightly less recess and physical education time than the public schools do. We, of course, have an hour each day for Bible history, other religious instruction, and between 5 and 15 minutes of chapel time, so that between 8:30 and 9:40, the children will be having time that's dedicated to their religion, practicing in chapel, music, Bible history and memory work, catechesis, all of that will be built into that start of the day. The other subject matter, though, as a percentage of the school day and the number of minutes, of course, meets all of the state of Ohio requirements. And we believe that the curriculum that we're planning at present will actually be a little bit more comprehensive than any of the public schools
for similar grade level. Mm-hmm. And what do you have in the way of teachers, like for music and art and PE and your grade schools? What are you looking for people? Who do you have so far?
Well, we have several people so far who are educators and are kind of recurring volunteering their time. We have Stephanie Newyear, who is our director of curriculum, who of course has 30 years of experience as an educator and will be heavily involved in curriculum development and teaching.
Good.
Several people who will be teaching math, religion, science, the social sciences, which include world history, U.S. history, and then the state requirements of a little bit of Ohio and local history. Our director of music is really a fabulous addition. He's a cantor at St. Peter's, and his background in undergraduate study actually was a specialty in music education for younger children. And so he's extremely passionate about this opportunity to work in the capacity of teaching it. So that music education will include some information about the history of music through the Western tradition, as well as musical performance and music theory, even at a young age. And children will be involved in singing and a little bit of instrumental work. They will have opportunities to participate during chapel services and during Sunday worship services.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick shout out for our cantor and our music educator. He is currently a PhD candidate in organ performance at Cleveland Institute of Music.
Boy.
And if you want to hear him play a pipe organ, come on by.
You have quite a pipe organ.
Yeah, you do have pipe. Yeah, that sounds lovely. And I wanted to put a little PS because I mentioned this early about Latin. And, you know, a lot of people, the average view is like, ugh. That's such a dead language. Why are you teaching Latin? Well, you can speak to this better than I can, but there are two things that I have learned. I just got finished teaching a whole week of Latin as a sub, but there are a couple things I've learned. Number one is that Latin, actually, it's the one language that has not changed. If you're speaking English, we are not using these and thous and things like that, the King's English. Our English, especially American English, it morphs. And what was the cool hip words 20 years ago? Well, it's something different now. Latin does not do that. It is static. Number two, Heather, you can speak to this better than I can, you and your husband. If you know Latin, your medical knowledge, law knowledge, words you don't know on the SAT test, if you know Latin, you're going to have it nailed. Do you want to speak to
us? I actually just read an article about this, that in England, many of the public schools are actually replacing French instruction with Latin instruction.
Interesting.
And for exactly a lot of the reasons that you just mentioned. You know, certainly Latin is the language of academia throughout all of Western history. It was at one point the lingua franca, of course, you know, that,
right.
That everyone spoke. You know what I really found out, I think, through my study of Greek, the same is true for Latin, but when you learn those things, you actually learn the English language better.
That's true.
I agree.
You come to understand all the little nuances and the different reasons for what things happen, and even what we, the terms for things.
Yes.
It's a really rich opportunity, I think, even for kids.
Mm-hmm. And I can speak from my personal experience as an undergraduate learning the Latin and Greek roots of medical and scientific terminology. And
definitely.
That was when I got to medical school. And so you start to take it for granted, but that doesn't apply just to medicine. That applies to the extent of speaking and writing and just having a more broad vocabulary. And so the children will benefit from being introduced that at a young age and improving their own vocabulary, their reading capability, and the idea that they're learning the elements of that language, and that improves their brain capacity at developing how they learn to learn.
Yes. Learning to their...
And our director of Latin, Dr. Clifford Sevsky, who studied Latin for many years, is really excited about leading the Latin instruction here at Classical Christian Academy, and he's developing all kinds of resources currently, planning for the start of school this fall.
And
I
was just going to say that what I loved about teaching Latin is this past week was that there are some really cute songs and chants and declensions, and I was shocked at how much the kids knew. They, you know, I was like, well, that's feminine. Well, that's the neuter. That's the, you know, gender. And the songs are tunes that they all know. And it's very, very good way of learning, learning how to learn. So I just wanted to mention that.
You just threw out a few terms that no one who doesn't, I'm sorry. Anyone who doesn't know Latin had no idea what you're talking about, feminine and neuter and that sort of thing. So call us up and email us. We'll explain that to you, too.
Yeah, but we use it.
Finally, I think Latin, there's so many good things available for Latin today that makes it not, like you were just saying, it makes it a fun language to learn. I've got a copy of Winnie the Pooh at home
in Latin. Oh, they're too cute.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. But we do use it every day, like the word et cetera or pro bono, the periodic table. It's all Latin, and I was surprised to know at some of the words that we do use every day are strictly Latin. So all that to say,
I have a quick question. With summer approaching, are you going to have an open house, or any parents that are listening, or just that they can come and look and see what's going on?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. We've had a few open houses already. We're having another one actually this Sunday, this program, I believe, will air after that. But we'll have another one in May, so watch the website because the date and time of that are yet to be determined.
Okay.
We're now doing a lot of private meetings with parents and families, and they can tour at their leisure. Just make an appointment with us during the week, during the day, evening, weekends. We're very accommodating at their convenience to explore our school physically and to sit and chat with us about what it will be like here for the students.
I don't know. Did we give out the address?
I don't think we did.
18,000 Dan Aiken Boulevard, Shaker Heights.
Again, please, try it one more time.
That's 18,000 Dan Aiken Boulevard, Shaker Heights.
18,000 Van Aiken Boulevard.
Okay, good. Well, just as a side, and I'm not in the education field, but as a grandfather, and many of my kids go to classical Christian education now here on the West Side.
We have six kids at West Side Christian Academy right now, grandkids.
Nice. What strikes me is the maturity of as they go up through the grade level. It's amazing, and how they think and reason. And I think, Dr. Laverre, you said, is just this whole thing of worldview. Having a biblical worldview that can engage with a rapidly changing world, but realizing that these foundations that we have are almost like being rediscovered, and that they can apply as these children go out into the college or whatever whatever they're going to become later in life. But I'm impressed, and I'm so happy my grandchildren are in this school system, this particular school, classical Christian education. Maybe you can speak to that, what you've seen and heard and read about the maturity as they go through these grade levels and get ready for graduation. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And I feel so blessed and have connected with other educators. West Side Christian Academy through some other classical Christian schools in Ohio and in the area, and through some online offerings. And really those themes are consistent. The themes about that foundational Christianity and viewing your life, the world around you, through that lens, and having that foundation as you go forward to really empower those children who are graduating, whether they're finishing eighth grade here, what we're proposing to do in the next few years as we grow, or even schools like WCA that goes through high school. They're still quite young, but learning how to think, having those skills, knowing Jesus as their Savior, where they came from, where they're going, ultimately, I think is the reassurance and the security that each of us relies on and that we fall back on when we face our adversity, and that they will have that foundation to know wherever they're headed in life, that's who they are. Their soul belongs.
Yeah.
I have a very practical question for you too. Could you share with us some of your practical needs at this point?
Yes.
We have funds if people would like to make a monetary donation. We have funds for tuition and other scholarships. We have a fund for just general operating expenses, and we have a building fund. We're hoping that in a few years we'll actually be able to physically expand our facilities. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, we've got various needs for growing our library, for acquiring additional playground equipment, for establishing a fund for our field trips, various teacher education materials, workbooks, art supplies, music supplies. And so you name it, we have got a list. If people are passionate about a certain thing, they'd like to donate science materials, we would love to have some more science materials. Mm-hmm. And we've been blessed with many generous donors already. So we thank the Lord for them. But we hope there will be more.
How about staff needs? Is there any slots that need to be filled before the school year starts?
So we could use more help with teachers, just to add to a list of some potential substitute teachers.
Yes,
if there are family emergencies, medical emergencies, as well as if people have capacity to help with teaching math or language arts or specific subject matter, absolutely. We could use a couple more people to help with playground supervision and lunch supervision, and even with basic setup and takedown needs. We're likely going to be offering some time where parents that have employment challenges need to drop off their child, say, an hour before school starts so the building will be open, and that families can have an opportunity to drop off their child early. So that means that we have to have a few more staff who are here, 60 to 90 minutes earlier.
Okay.
I'd like to second amen to what you mentioned about volunteers for lunch duty, volunteers for the playground, a recess. Now, even grandparents could do that, or someone that is, has those hours available, and also subs. So that would have to be a qualified educator, teacher, to be able to be on call. That is, as a school administrator, that's one thing I didn't have much of. I ended up having to jump in. So I would say if you have any background in teaching, they could sure use you. So that's a great thing to have in your back pocket.
We only have a couple of minutes left, and I really want to thank you again, Pastor Troy Newyear and Dr. Heather Valier, for taking time out of your busy schedule to share with our listeners this incredible vision, and it's actually taken, it's being manifested now in this school that's coming. You guys have brought the life here at St. Peter's on Van Aken in Shaker Heights. This is WNZN Radio coming to you from 89.1 FM, and this show will be archived. I want all our listeners to know that they can go back on. You'll see the title and the date of the show, so you can listen to it continually and pick up the information. But Dr. And also Pastor, if you have any closing thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with, and please give the contact information just one more time.
You know, I do have one. I would really be remiss if I did not mention the amount of help that we've had from Marie. Thank you, Marie.
My pleasure.
The great folks over at Westside Christian Academy. And just a whole host of other people that, frankly, we would not be able to get off the ground without the amount of mentorship, support, guidance, and assistance we've had from all quarters. So even though we're a brand new school, we've got just a huge base of guidance and mentorship behind us, and I'm just so thankful for all of those people.
Thank you.
What else do you want to say?
I agree. I think that's a wonderful way to wrap it up, is just expressing the gratitude for this opportunity and for all of the wonderful individuals who have come forward with their time, their talent, their treasures, their vision to add to us.
Well, Marie, do you have any closing comments?
No, just just the information, your website and your address, phone number.
One more time, please.
Absolutely. It's Classical
Christian Academy. That makes it cca-shaker.org. Phone number 216-561-2511. And we are here at
18,000 Van Aken Boulevard.
Well, we really appreciate you two. I mean, it's amazing vision, and you really...
A lot of work. I've done it.
You're doing a lot, and you're going to touch, like you say, Pastor, the next generation.
Yes.
And the necessity of having a biblical worldview wrapped with a classical Christian education is just amazing. And as one grandparent, I highly, highly recommend it. So God bless you guys and all you're doing over there. We hope to visit in the near future and maybe bring some prospective students and their parents with us that are from the west side and coming the east side. All right, God bless you, and hopefully talk to you and do an update maybe later in the summer or in the fall when the school's going.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
God bless you both. Thanks so much for your time.
Bye-bye.